This is CliffCentral.com. Come on, take a seat, 'cause you know
what I'm saying. Shimmy, 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 yeah.
Uh huh.
Woo.
La 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 la.
Drank.
Swalla la la. What's up, y'all? This is the weekly mashup. My name is Timisha Masha, and I don't travel alone. I've got the feisty, the vivacious, the curvaceous.
Oh no, not curvaceous. That's right. A lie.
The drank. Not in that way. She drank water.
I only drank all water. But Candace Mama, people, hello.
This is the weekly mashup, and we're so happy that you could join us. I'm trying to do this so that my microphone is not in your way, Candace, of the camera. Because we're doing a live video.
Yes, tune in to Timisha Masha Instagram.
Yeah, at Timisha Masha. And you can see us live right here in studio. Right now, though, we were playing one of... I like that song. I really do. Even though...
The Nicki Minaj one.
Well, it's really not Nicki Minaj. It's that other dude.
And no Jason one cares.
Derulo.
I just want to confess that
I'm jealous of Jason Derulo. I don't like Jason Derulo.
I don't like him either. But why don't you like him? Let's start with a list of why we don't like Jason Derulo.
I don't like him because every woman that I love or like
love
has
him.
Always liked Jason Derulo. And okay, I got a problem with that. Look, I'm not saying I'm insecure about Jason Derulo. Don't get me wrong. I'm not insecure.
It's not an insecurity. It's just a thing.
But I just don't like the fact that they like Jason Derulo.
Okay.
Because I know what he's about. Jason Derulo is not trying to be your friend. Jason Derulo is not trying to be in a relationship with you that is about you. Jason Derulo just want to do you.
You know, like where I got personally offended by Jason Derulo was when he came to South Africa. I still love Jason Derulo.
Oh, okay.
Like, shimmy, shimmy, sha, shimmy, sha, shimmy, sha.
So it was a political thing for you.
It was just a personal insult for my people. When he came to South Africa and then he said, do y'all speak English? We were like, what the hell did you book your ticket in, nigga? Like Swahili? Like, what the F?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I was just like... Just a little ignorance.
Okay.
Just a little.
All right.
But wouldn't be my kind of guy anyway. So
you know what? I feel nothing for how you feel about him because, quite frankly, I'm at a point where me and Jason are not tight like that anymore. I don't think we ever were. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, there's some people that I'm just not tight with like that.
Okay. So
funny, but I'm cool with Chris Brown though. I'm cool with Chris.
Okay, but Chris had Rihanna.
Like I know. I should have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I should.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with that because I feel like Chris has a sweet side to him. You know, he tried his best with Rihanna.
It just didn't work.
Has an anger issue, I guess. But Rihanna's vexing.
No, but Rihanna became better after Chris.
Yeah.
Like, that was the relationship. You know, I always say in a woman's life, there's one relationship that's going to switch, like, the script mentally. Yeah. And Chris was that relationship
for
Rihanna.
I mean, not in our name, Chris. I'm not trying to be, like, you know, kicked out of everything, like a certain lady who defended Manana. I'm not defending Chris Brown for what he did to Rihanna. That was wrong, Chris. That was wrong. You shouldn't have done that, Chris.
We're both against that, Chris. Yeah. We're both against
it. Doesn't matter how vexing she was. Doesn't matter that she threw your Lamborghini keys into the street.
No. But I'm not even talking from the abuse element. I'm talking about from the relationship and love element.
Yeah.
There's always that one relationship that turns a good woman bad. Rihanna was such a good woman. She was so good. And then Chris came along and, we've got the Rihanna now needed me. I was good on my own. That's the way it was.
I'm going to switch your mic off. No, Rihanna was never a good chick.
Rihanna was awesome. Rihanna even had like the long bob. She had like that ugly long bob.
She had the long bob.
And then it was
she was
like,
never sweet though. Like, you're talking like Rihanna was that chick.
No, Rihanna
who
was
nice and sweet.
She was
and
sweet.
A good girl. Never.
How dare you? How dare
never,
you?
Never.
No.
And in fact,
Rihanna switched on Umbrella. No. Rihanna switched on Umbrella. Like, under my umbrella. That was like the initial transition out of the Chris phase before she was doing, like, I forgot the other stuff she was doing.
Wait, you recall that Chris, up to Rihanna, that incident with Rihanna, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chris was this good, sweet mama's boy. He only sang love song. And now he's like,
we think,
I'm going to F you till you fall asleep and stuff like that. That's the love song.
No, but I'm not
doing.
Saying they didn't switch each other. I'm just saying that there's one relationship that turns you into someone different. That one heartbreak will turn you into a different person.
It's sad.
That's all I'm saying.
Sad.
And
anyway, there's some other sad news that I just want to talk about. The young lady who got the money from Nesfas. The 14 million and only used 800,000. You know, we laughed about it, but if it was me, people, I would have used like a lot more of that money. So, you know, and she committed suicide.
Did she?
She committed suicide.
What?
She couldn't take it. Her grandmama said that she got the money. She didn't buy anyone groceries at the house. She didn't do all the good things, all the right things. And what happened is she ended up, you know, committing suicide.
Oh,
I think
my
that's
gosh.
What he said. It's not worth it.
I
not
had no it, idea.
Lady. Like, I think
I'm so sorry.
No matter how bad things are going in your life,
there's always a change.
It will get better. You're always. Still alive. That means that something is going to get better.
Yeah,
you just have to hang in there. Mm. Most of the time, you just have to outlive the bad times.
Literally.
That's all. Literally. You don't have to do anything else. Just outlive the bad times and you will see how it will turn around.
Damn.
So I'm like, girl. Damn. Girl, you could have paid that $800,000. In fact, maybe what you were going through was a test to show you that if they say you owe $800,000, you're going to make $8
million. Maybe.
You know what?
I think it was just a bad situation. She got herself in some bad situations with the wrong people. And unfortunately, she thought that the only way out was probably suicide. And that's unfortunate. But
I just want to say to all the young people out there, and even if you're not young, but you're thinking of committing suicide.
There's always another way, guys.
There's always, tomorrow will always be better. Even if they're actually literally taking you away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're about to get arrested. I don't even know what you're pointing at.
I'm like, put this there.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, a man, you've really literally sucks. Got a.
Like, your sign language is ridiculous.
I was going to say further, but okay, whatever. Yes, better.
I'm very good at sign language.
Terrible, actually. No, you were so non-slick with your life. Like, you are the least slick nigga. I don't want to know how you used to hit on people when you were still single. Because you are the most I don't even understand how you don't pick up subtle cues. Like, that was so subtle, and you're like, what must I do? Pointing over.
If a woman
looked at you, what were you gonna do?
I'm
like, be like, are you staring at me?
I'm too dangerous for myself.
Whatever.
In fact, I decided I'm glad I'm out the game.
Are you saying you're too slick for life?
I'm too slick for life.
Are you saying
life,
like your pump name slick back?
Like women have fallen.
I don't.
The ones that didn't think they were going to fall have fallen.
I don't believe you
like
for shit.
No, for sheezy, my kneesy.
For sheezy, my kneesy. No one even uses that phrase anymore. That's how I know. That's how I think, like, you use the Tamisha Masha card to get woman.
You
are like.
What?
Do you know who I am? I happen to be Tamisha Masha.
You know, you can like just throw the Tamisha Masha card around like it's an ANC membership. It doesn't work that way. It really, in fact, if anything, it actually makes your life more difficult. I have to work harder than the ordinary man.
Lies!
I'm telling
Lies!
You. Like, I've got that against me. Because she's already thinking, oh, you think you are, and now I'm just going to fall
you
for
think
that.
You better.
You know what I mean?
I am going to show you.
So I have to like be subtle. I have to come in from the other side. I have to like, but
you,
anyway,
you
I'm,
do
I'm
a
done
lot.
With that. I'm done with that. What's happened in the week, apart from Hurricane Irma?
I've been focused so much on my own life. I know that's very selfish to say, but I've been focused on my own life.
People
so
are dying. And,
I know, and I'm just like, just the like, world the world revolves around Candace, mm-hmm. so I'm not even going to open the news.
That's Candace, Candace.
I am not that person, usually, but now and again, I allow myself to indulge in just my news, so...
Well,
yes.
The big news is you've got a new blog that's come out. You're just churning them out. You're just churning them out. And
I
this
am.
One was, you love yourself. No, you love your career.
I love my career more
than
I love
than you
a
are
man.
Ready to love a man.
Yes.
Right now.
Which is this ironic. Week. This week. Which is ironic. All the listeners are like, oh. Like, literally.
No, just this week. Wait till next week. It will turn around. It will turn around
Everyone.
For you. She's going through a phase.
I'm going through a moment. Mm. No, but it's so funny because as I was writing this blog, I was like, Tamisha's going to be like, but I've been saying. You know, like, I am one of those people who love being in a relationship. I love being with someone and I love dating and I love being with people. But until, like, I got a very cool opportunity presented to me, and then I looked at this dude and I was like, I'm not willing to sacrifice my career right now. I mean, you're great. You're gorgeous.
You're
smart. You know, no, but can I tell
you
what?
Will your career call you when you're down?
No.
Will your career send you a WhatsApp just in the middle of the day to say, I was just thinking about you and I just
you are
think you're
such
awesome.
An asshole. Wow. Wow.
You're not going to answer the question.
I can't with you.
Okay. All right. So this dude, this amazing guy came your way. He
absolutely
was
amazing.
Hot.
I feel like God probably
was,
like put him on a bow and was like,
I was like, give me his number. I'll go out with him. Who is this guy? Oh my God.
Yeah. Everyone wants to know who this mystery man is. It's so funny.
Okay.
And I was like, shame. Like, I'm like the Taylor Swift of relationships. Like, every guy that dates me knows there's going to be a blog.
Okay. So hang on.
But I will put his details at the bottom of my
what
blog.
What was wrong
guys.
With him? Did he have
Nothing.
Bad breath? He had
no,
bad
he was
breath,
great. He
it?
Smelled great. He was personable. You know, I'm a lot to handle. Mm-hmm. Like, when you go out with me, I like a lot of people gravitate towards me.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of guys find it very difficult. Mm-hmm. No. And I mean this with the utmost respect and humility. I'm saying for context reasons.
Yes.
So like when people come and talk to me usually, like it's usually like little kids or like guys, like we'll just stare at
children
me.
Children love you.
Kids do love me. Yeah. That one I'll take. Kids love me. but like usually guys get very irritable, like, you know, when that starts to happen and they get very aggressive. And then there was this drunk guy who came over to me at the table, like while I was on a date with this dude. And he just started like, he high-fived me. He brought his whole table to sit next to us. And I was like, oh my God, it's about to go down. Like this guy's going to start fighting and it's going to be an awkward night. Yeah. And he was so good with it. He went and met everyone at the table. I was like,
wow. And you were like,
I was like, I love my career.
You're so perfect. And I just want to be with you, but
not
I'm in
now.
Love with my career.
Yeah. You know what? I think great guy, if different timing, I think
I'm tired.
Perfect.
I just want to let you people know that I'm tired.
What ifs?
It's not that I was involved. I tried to be the Cupid in this one.
What ifs?
But I'm tired of having good feelings for you. I'm tired of being faith, like what? Having the faith for you. Like,
you're always the one that's like, don't. Don't date.
No
way.
I would never say
that. You are
always
the one who's like, maybe you should focus on your career. That is such a
don't even bring me into it no more.
You are such.
You know when you have that friend who's like, who's failing matric?
No.
Like, you failed matric like 1,000 times. Like, all your friends have moved on. They go failed. You're still in matric. And we're like, this time Candice is going to do it. You know, Candice is like working really hard. She's concentrating on her books. And, you know, she wrote the exams. And you go buy the newspaper and you're like, I'm ready, man. Candice!
Wow. Okay. It's like, no, no.
I didn't see your name in the paper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know this
matric. Don't believe this. I want people to understand, not because if you guys go to past podcasts, actually, I will even direct you to a podcast you should go listen to. The one with Jeanette McKenzie, the psychic.
It was a one-time thing.
Where she said to me, Candice, you know, you're probably not going to find a relationship until your career takes off, because every guy along the way is going to be very intimidated, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then Tamisha was like, I've been telling her to stay alone. I've been telling her to stay single. She just doesn't listen to me.
Okay.
My wisdom. And then the podcast after, we had, I think it was astrologer Teresa. And you were like, I know, guys. Why won't Candice just focus on her career and stop with these niggas? And all of a sudden, Mr. Tamisha is the one who's holding a candle for me at night, being like, God, please bring her a man.
Lord,
that is such a lie.
I'm praying like night and day. My knees hurt. I'm on my knees.
Whatever. Okay, let's
listen before we go to our guest, because I really want to talk to our guest right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've like spoken about a lot of things.
Yes.
If you're a Kaizer Chiefs fan, they won last night. I actually watched the game.
Who were they playing against?
Game. They were playing against Benny's team, Cape Town City.
Mm-hmm.
And Benny's an amazing coach. He's the next big thing. I really believe that.
Okay.
So for me to watch Kaizer Chiefs play so well, I was like, wow. Okay. But anyway, I'm really glad that my team Sundowns won.
Who supports Sundowns? Like,
cool,
isn't
people.
It like just Pirates really cool and people. Chiefs that like have the support?
No, Sundowns is actually the biggest team in the country, but a lot of people don't know that. Especially people who
big
don't know
how?
Anything about soccer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Shots
I know
fired.
You don't
okay.
know anything about. That's okay. So I'm okay with that, you know. They won as well. And Barcelona won in the UEFA. I mean, if
there's a lot of
really
soccer happening.
Yeah. And then, you know.
Do people still watch that?
All the time.
I just watch the World Cup.
And I just want to say a big up to Sia Kolisi, the bear. On Insta, he is my hero. Like that guy, the way he plays rugby, I'm just like, you know, I'm in awe. And I know that he's going to do amazing things this weekend against the All Blacks.
There's so much sports.
There's so much
this
sport.
This is so
I
sad.
Just love sport. Okay, anyway, here, let me play you a song.
Okay. True, all I get is wild thoughts. Wow, wow, wow. When I'm with you, all I get is wild thoughts.
We the best music. I always wanted to do that.
Take it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Thank
Rihanna,
you, T.
Rihanna, I must say,
my
I must
spirit
confess,
animal.
You know,
well, at least
I've
the spirit animal.
Rihanna.
I hope.
I got problems with Rihanna.
Oh gosh. Okay, go on.
If Rihanna ever came to South Africa,
I think she would destroy many a marriage relationship.
And she just gave me, you know, she gave me that. You know, when a woman just gives you that look, like
Rihanna doesn't have
to
even look
room.
At anyone. Rihanna just needs to walk past you, and I think you'll be in love. I'll be in love.
I would mess it up. I would really mess up my life for Rihanna. And I know that she's gonna mess up my life.
No,
I know.
I would too.
Going in,
that
she's not gonna love me back.
She's gonna be like,
she's
I was good on
me.
My own. That's
you,
the
you
way
know
it
mean?
Was.
And I know she's gonna do, but just for that one night, I'm willing to risk it all.
Oh gosh, you Sam Smithing already? Like for you, I'd gladly.
And she's put on some weight lately.
But she's still beautiful. Good. It's
she's that bad, bad, you know what? Bad chick.
I think Rihanna would convert anyone. Like I would go with Rihanna. Fuck, yeah. I'd be like, okay, yeah. You know, take me,
and then come back and say, I'm not even, guys.
Yeah. And I'd be on the podcast, like, guys, I'm not even like, I'm not even.
Yeah, that's it.
But you know, like, oh, Rihanna though, she's still
Rihanna though. Wow.
I mean, who does not understand Rihanna? Like, hello, hello. No, you gotta be from a different planet not to love Rihanna.
Anyway,
yeah,
we got in the studio with us.
Mm-hmm.
This fine gentleman right here. His name is Tepo Modiba. Say what's up, Tepo?
How's it, guys?
It's good to have you in the studio, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh.
Now, I've known Tepo a long time. Okay.
How long is a long time?
Nearly 10 years, eh? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nearly 10 years now.
Wow.
Now, Tepo is one of the most stylish cats I've ever come across.
Well, I should hope so, because I saw his shoes.
For real, though.
And his ensemble.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he started out, actually, you know, apart from the fact that he started out working for a number of shoe companies, the biggest in this country, and making them hundreds of millions of profit because he knows what kind of shoe to pick.
Wow.
Tepo's a designer and he used to have a brand, a suit brand that I used to actually, I modeled, you know, in my modeling days.
When you were still like the...
Before the kids, before
the shimmy. Yeah. Before the kids impact.
Before I had a dad bod.
Yeah.
And he used to have artistic soul.
Yeah. Yeah. It's solid was. Yeah.
I miss that, man. I miss that. Speaking to the mic.
I miss it as well. Eh? It's I don't know. It feels like a lifetime ago.
It but, is a lifetime ago.
How many years ago was it?
Going back 10 years, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just when we met. I think the only thing that stayed on after that was my relationship with him. And then I just chose to go the career route, you know, family and everything. And then 10 years later, then, you know, we're reigniting the dream, but with a different approach now, going into footwear. And then hopefully we'll go back into suiting as well, you know.
Okay.
And I think from a timing point of view, the market is ready for us now.
Yeah.
We had to go and pay our school fees, you know. That's how I look at it, you know, gain the experience, make the contacts. And I think, not to brag about it, but now I look at it and I'm like, we're really more knowledgeable about the industry than we were then. And then we definitely can make a difference in South Africa's economy in the long run.
Alright, but here's the thing, T. You know all about Italian shoes. You've been buying Italian shoes for like the longest time for a particular brand in South Africa. And you've always told me that the biggest consumers in this country are the ones that buy like a shoe like a Cavela, for example.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Abos Cortani are basically your biggest consumer.
Well, not where I am right now, where I was. I mean, we used to look at it. It's also aspiration at a different level, you know. Okay. For them, it's like buying a Gucci brand. And I think you have to respect that, you know, that there's different segments in the market itself. And then in our case, I saw an opportunity more in the middle to up market, you know, because... Okay. Even those people that are starting at the bottom, they eventually graduate to the next level and so forth. So there's gaps in that. People who are naturally graduating from being at the bottom to the middle and then to the upper market. You know, you don't necessarily, all of a sudden because you're working, you can't necessarily afford a Louis Vuitton or a Gucci. So that niche market in the middle there of saying, okay, now you're no longer the Cavella guy, but you're not quite at the Louis Vuitton level. Yeah. You know, or, that's where we
Gucci.
Come in. Yeah,
yeah.
Or Gucci, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And you don't want to go to Edgar's.
Exactly. Yeah, no.
Yeah. But anyway... you've been doing this a long time and you know what you're talking about. Why did you choose to go to Italy to get your shoes made? Because that's where they're made. You design them, but they're made there, right? Yeah. And you're going to tell us that it's where all the best shoes are made and stuff like that. Yeah. But what can you tell us that is new about why you decided to go to Italy to get your shoes made?
I think through working with the factories and then their work ethic, number one, their knowledge about footwear, their passion. I mean, everything that the Italians do, from food to cars, it's all about passion, you know? And it's things that have evolved over generations. I mean, the businesses that we deal with in Italy, you know, it's the son running a business that was started by the grandfather, you know? So there's a lot of wealth of knowledge that sits with it. And like I said, they're really passionate about it. It's not even about the numbers, about making money. And there's also a genuine interest in them as people, you know, to collaborate with South Africa or Africa as a whole for that matter, you know. So long term, actually mid to long term, we're even looking at bringing artisans into South Africa, training people about ways of how to make Italian shoes, you know. And internationally, like you said, I mean, it does sound a bit like a cliche, but everyone knows that the best shoes in the world are from Italy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Why is that? I mean, like, what are they doing right? Because a shoe is a shoe, right?
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
a person who makes yeah. a shoe, especially yeah. if they're like handmade shoes. But what are the Italians doing that no one else is able to do?
They have soul. I mean, it's I've seen replicas of shoes that are made in Italy being done in China.
Yeah,
you know, and
let's be honest,
yeah, good quality shoes. But for some reason, they just don't have that soul in them. When you look at them, you can feel that something is missing. You know,
yeah.
I don't want to be corny, but every shoe actually has to have a soul.
No.
But I know that at the moment, you opened a new store. It's called Nero & Co. It's in Menlyn.
Mm-hmm.
What does Nero stand for?
Well, the idea behind Nero was, I think, in my 10 years of working in the footwear retail business, I learned that black as a color is an essential to have. It's a color that never dates. And then, you know, before you buy anything colorful in your wardrobe, you always have to start with your basics, your classic colors. And then black always features. I mean, it's sales-wise, in most retailers, they'll tell you, it even accounts for about 30 or 40% of their business.
Okay.
So the idea was to specialize and go into an avenue where we wanted to become a primary destination for anyone looking for a black pair of shoes across all different lifestyles, be it formal, be it, you know, sneakers, lifestyle, all of that. It was a nice idea at the time, but it sounded quite purist. So we had to tweak it and say, no, we can't just offer black colors, you know, black shoes in our store. What about
black
someone
is
who's
beautiful.
Looking? It is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with it. But what about someone who's looking for a bright yellow pair of shoes? What about that guy, you know?
So black is the new orange, or orange is the
new
black.
Exactly. So, you know, because having color also draws people into the store. So the idea was Nero is black for Italian, you know, and then whenever we buy shoes in Italy, before you look at your fancy colors, you always start with your black and your brown, you know?
Oh,
so
okay.
It was black plus something else, you know?
Yeah.
So it's Nero as in a black shoe in the company of other colors.
Oh,
so that's where the name comes from, yeah.
And of course, you are black yourself.
well, you can also look at it that way if you like.
Yeah, you can
like.
Give it a woke explanation.
Yeah, you
know?
Yeah. You are black and you know? Then you have these other
black
Italians.
Black pride.
And the thing. Yeah. Okay. And you know, here's the thing, right? We know that the shoe market, the consumer of shoes has always been mostly black.
Yes, yeah.
Was that something that you considered as well?
Yeah, historically, yes. But we're seeing, I mean, since opening on Friday, I was actually overwhelmed by the mix of customers that we've been having coming into our stores, you know. It's no longer just the black consumer who's stylish. Even white guys now are coming up. And then you see them coming into the store with their wives. And then obviously their wives are putting a little bit of work on them to say, look, you need to be more stylish as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's changing. You know, I think everyone has sort of like embraced, you know, style. Everyone has embraced, you know, the fact that you need to be up, you know, keep up with the trend as well. You know, it's no longer about those Felskoons or those Bronx shoes, chunky boots and all of that stuff. Yeah. So,
those damn Bronx.
Yeah, yeah.
Those damn Bronx.
They're in the same class as those ugly sandals.
Oh, those sandals?
Crocs.
Oh! Oh, Crocs.
Oh, don't mention that name!
A man wearing Crocs has decided he no longer needs
to have
sex.
He's given up.
Yeah, yeah.
He's given up on life.
Yeah,
no.
It's like, that's it.
I've never once in my life thought I'd date a man wearing Crocs.
But
never.
How could you ever date a man wearing Crocs? That's impossible.
Do they even want to date? That is the question.
I don't think so.
No,
I think a man who's wearing Crocs is saying to the world,
I am done.
I no longer want a woman in my life. If I'm lucky enough to still have a woman, I'm not sure if I want to even have sex with her.
Yeah, no, I've given up. That is like the station wagon of shoes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done.
Yeah, I don't even know if I can say it's a station wagon, because there's worse than station wagons. There's like much
broken
worse.
Down.
Yeah, it's like a Volvo, dirty station wagon.
Okay, back to the Italian shoes.
Yeah, anyway, the other thing is you only do men's shoes at the moment.
At the moment, but again, the intention being to specialize. I think women are spoiled for choice. And then when you go into this niche market of in between your middle to your, because we were looking at being what we call accessible premium, you know, so we're giving you the same quality that you'd get for a Louis Vuitton or a Gucci, but at a reasonable price, an affordable price. With women, I mean, I've even this one, you know, I know I'm going to get crucified for it, but the reality is we've had women coming in with their husband, and then the guy wants to spend $6,000 on a pair of shoes, and you have the wife saying to him, for that amount of money, I can get 6 pairs of shoes. You know, how do you compete with that? You know what I mean? But with that said, I must say, the request for ladies' collection in the range has been quite overwhelming, and then I think it's something that we definitely need to look into going forward. Yeah.
Well, I must say, I mean, you did say $6,000 for a pair of shoes. I mean,
okay, no, but can we just be fair? Yeah. Can we be fair? Like quality shoes. Like I always say that if you're going to spend $6,000 on a shoe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What's happening is you that shoe is going to last you for about 10 years,
yeah.
Like because it's not going to break, tear down, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So in essence, you're not actually spending that much on a shoe if you break it down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you break
Hopefully
down the amount.
You have another
amount.
Pair of shoes as well, though.
Okay, I don't wear that. If you're spending $6,000 on one pair of shoes and you can't pay rent, you've got issues that go beyond your shoe spending.
Look, I mean, if you bring $3,000 to the store, you can pick something up. But, you know, between three and six.
I think, between three and six. I mean, our main range, Nero & Co. as a collection, is at 3,000 rand. You know,
so
the pricing goes from that all the way up to 6,000 rand.
Okay.
Are people balking at the price? Are they a little bit afraid of that price?
Not really. I think the consumer who comes in is quite discerning, and then they know what they're looking for already. Mm. And then, I mean, again, surprised that we don't even get asked a lot of questions about the brands. The brands speak for themselves. They come in, they can see that this is value for money. Mm. Some guys don't even look at the prices, you know, and then...
But the thing is, the LSM you are targeting, right, is the type that wouldn't question spending that particular price.
I mean,
no one who can't afford it is going to, you know,
really?
Particularly inquire.
Really, is there such a thing, though? Because, let's be honest, it's still a certain chunk of money. And at the end of the day, you're still looking at I suppose, a middle to upper class market, right? An upper middle class, be that as it may.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly people who are earning hundreds of thousands every month.
It's your middle class. I mean, at 3,000 rand. And just to put it into perspective, you go to shops like your Aldo, your Dune, and, you know, now with inflations and then the devaluation of our currency, you are likely to pay, you know, north of 2,000 and in some instances even above 2,000 rand, you know, for shoes made in China or India that have got like pig lining, they don't even have leather soles on them. And then those shoes you wear maximum maybe 2 years if you're lucky. Some of them won't even last you a year.
Wow.
So we looked at it and thought to ourselves, you know, add another few hundred rands more, you know, to get it to 3,000 rand. Now you've got a pair of shoes that can last you for even 5 years, you know.
Mm. Did you have a problem initially when you started pricing your shoes with like people not being receptive to the pricing?
Not really. Surprisingly, I think everyone understood it. And then also with the years of experience that we have from working for other retailers, I think we knew exactly where we needed to be. You know, that's that sweet spot that you need to come in at.
Okay.
I wanted to ask now to just go back to basically the business side of things, because you know you started a business, and a lot of young people in South Africa are always talking about how difficult it is to start a business, especially with something that you're doing.
Mm.
There's apparently all these opportunities to get funding, especially in the retail space.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that it was easy for you to get funding?
No, it wasn't easy. I mean, the business itself, I quit my job, you know, more than a year ago just to focus on this and then make sure that we do everything, follow the process correctly.
Yeah.
From starting up with your business plan, getting the company registered, getting your trademarks done, getting import licenses, you know, all of that, getting a VAT number.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the process of that, we were looking for funding.
Yeah.
And with government, I mean, there's funding available, but obviously how it was explained to me is, unfortunately, you know, if they want to make a change into the economy of South Africa, you know, they cannot focus on everything. So in their case, they chose to go the industrialization route, which means there is money available for people who are looking to establish factories and create more employment.
Oh, okay.
So retail at the moment is not a priority for them.
Mm.
So for that reason, it wasn't as easy to get funding. And then I had to actually collaborate with factories in Italy that I've worked with before. You know, there was a company that had worked with them that was willing to put the investment down on loan agreement to say, you know, we believe in this vision. We've seen your work, you know, we think you can pull it off. Let's work together on it and let's see where it takes us.
Mm.
And then, like I said, mid to long term, the very people that are behind it are willing to come into South Africa and then, you know, help us train other people around making shoes. And then I think that's where then government can step in with their funding.
How did you stay inspired, Tsepo? I mean, you know, here you are, you're struggling to raise the funding and the financing. And you have quit your job to really focus on this. There must have been moments where you wanted to give up. How did you stay
focused? It hasn't been easy, but like I said, because of the history of once being in that industry, you know, on the suiting side, where I then made the decision to rather stay in corporate, chose the safer route. 10 years later, when you're saying, now I think I'm ready, you know, I think you're more resilient. You've got a better conviction about what you want to do. So, and I knew, I was anticipating that there were going to be challenges along the way. And then, you know, today I can even laugh about some of those challenges, you know. So one had to just stay focused. And then I must be honest, there was also a lot of support from friends and family, you know, people you know, every now and again, when you feel like, you know what, you're feeling down and it's not going to work, they say, you know what, we believe in you, you can make this happen. And then that just lifts your spirit. And then, I mean, a year later, here we are, the shop is operating, you know, all my anxieties are gone because, I mean, we had quite a nice opening over the weekend. And I think it's a beginning to great things.
But what's that spark? I just want to know, what's that spark that allows you to take the leap? Because I feel like there's always a moment where you say, I'm leaving safety and I'm about to just jump. So what was that for you?
Realizing that I'm getting old. You know, you're not getting any younger. You know, if you don't do it now, I mean, my vision of it was, you know, like, okay, I'm approaching 40 now. Another 10 years, then I might as well bank on my pension funds.
It's all downhill. It's all downhill after 40.
You know what I mean? After 40.
Yeah. So
you
it's like,
no.
It's now or never, you know?
Do it now. But here's the thing. I mean, T, your story is very inspirational. And I want to talk about your story for a little bit. You're a guy from Lebowakgomo. And, you know, I was driving through there last week.
Where's that? Tuesday. Is it the Polokwane?
In Polokwane,
It's like 60 Ks from Polokwane.
Okay.
It's like a township / village.
Oh, okay.
60 Ks away from Polokwane.
Yeah.
It's like the apartheid people knew what they were doing because they put us like far. Like to get to the town, you have to, it's like a treacherous road.
You had to dress up to go to town back in those days.
It was a journey.
A field trip. You had to take lunch with you as well and stop halfway there.
You know. And there you are, you know.
Memories.
Now you are hobnobbing with the whatnots in Italy. You know everything about Italian shoes. I mean, you're not even pretentious about knowing Italian shoes. There are people who think they know stuff. This guy knows
it's
stuff.
Italy.
You know what I mean? Like he knows Prada, he knows Louis Vuitton, he knows all those brands. Like it's nothing. It's nothing to him. Your story, tell us, take us from that time when a spark was lit that you said, you know what, I want to go into this fashion thing. Because you're a pretty smart guy. You could have been an accountant.
The safe route.
Well, I don't know about accounting.
You could have been anything
lawyer.
But
that. Lawyer, doctor.
You would have been a very unsuccessful lawyer. You're too nice. You would have been a terrible, terrible
You'd
lawyer.
You'd be surprised, eh?
Maybe a doctor. Maybe a doctor, but certainly don't do law, man.
My
gosh. People would lose the case because you'd be like, no, I don't think you should sue, you know. I think let's just talk to the person and see if we can be nice.
Or I could play reverse psychology on you.
I think that's more likely.
But why do you choose fashion, man?
Look, it's it started with the talent of being able to sketch. And then, I mean, while I was still in boarding school, actually, in one of those Catholic boarding schools, I finished my matric in 97. I had a passion to just get the pencil and a piece of paper and sketch
anything.
That's
when Candace was born.
You know? Really? Wow.
I like being young.
Yeah, we're all jealous of you right now. So from that, I think then you just start to play with, I mean, drawing cars, drawing furniture, drawing houses. Even today, it's not just clothing clothing or shoes that I draw, you know, everything. And then then I decided that,
you even do interior deco.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You should see the shop that he did, Nero & Co. Like the way he's put, you did that all by yourself. Conceptualized it.
And I think, and there's a nice story, there's harmony into how it all came together, the flow.
Tell
into
us about
the store.
That. Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, from, I think it's a passion that I have deeply in me, that I like things to look beautiful. I care about the aesthetics of things, the quality of things as well. You know, it shouldn't just look beautiful, it should also look appealing, it should also look timeless.
Yes.
And then, you know, you have a passion for something, and then over the years you harness it through, you know, researching, studying around it, and then also even improving your skill. So from drawing lots of things, over time the skill just improves and improves. And sometimes when you go through the hardships, you park it. You know, there was a moment, I think, where for 2 years I had never touched a pencil to draw anything because I was just not in the right frame of mind. But then when you revisit it, you find that talent, it's still there. You know, on its own, it just self-natures itself. And then when you're ready to pick up where you left off, it's still there.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like I said, with traveling as well, because, I mean, I've been all over the world. I've been to,
But before we get there, I want to know that transition. Now you're at this Catholic school. And I'm sure the pressure was there. You have to choose this, you have to choose that. Anything but what you chose.
Something more stable.
What made you decide, no, I'm going to go for this in this way?
Well, sometimes it's the rebellious you when your parents tell you, I didn't pay all this money for you to go and become a tailor. You know what I mean? I mean, there was a lot of that.
Right? Not even a tailor, because a tailor is a nice word.
Yes, dressmaker. You know what I mean? Yeah, they'd be like, you know, and then...
Like, I'm not sewing buttons, guys.
And you realize that, you know what, to get to where you want to get to, maybe those are some of the things you have to do. Look, it was never going to be about sitting in front of a sewing machine. I had a vision beyond that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you have to start from the bottom and then work your way up.
And then you decided to go study it.
Yeah, study fashion in Pretoria Technikon.
Okay.
Yeah. And then a 3-year course. And then in my second year, I entered a competition for Best Young Design Awards with Fair Lady and Mnet at the time. And then the show was in Cape Town. We showcased along the likes of your Errol Arends, Marian Fassler.
Oh, wow.
I actually came through as a runner-up, you know, with a prize money of about 15,000 rand at the time. And then that put me on the map, because from that, you know, after graduation, I was able to get into a training program for buyers that was run by Truworths in Cape Town. So, and then that now, you know, again, from learning about design, and now you're going into the retail space, not exactly what I thought it was going to be. And then that's how I entered the corporate world. And then 3 years into Truworths, from there, went to Edcon, worked for the Edcon Group for another two and a half years. Nike South Africa, another two years. And then from there, I've been with Spitz for about 10 years doing footwear for them, for some of the well-known brands like your Lacoste, Cabela, and Kit Geiger as well.
You're dumbstruck. No, but I think it's so important for people to understand that what I picked up from your journey is that it's not one seamless journey. Just from the decision-making process of saying, I want to do this, even though you had a bigger vision, you went on so many detours before you got to Nero & Co.
Exactly.
You know, so all these little milestones that look like setbacks, I'm sure at the time you're like, hey,
definitely.
No,
they
actually ended up molding this bigger vision. Right?
With what you're saying now, here's what I want to ask. How important is it to be faithful to other people's businesses before you're able to qualify to get your own?
Look, I think for me it's a trade exchange, because as much as, you know, they're giving you safety in terms of finances, they're paying your salary, and then if you deliver on the results, you can also get a decent bonus out of it as well. It's an opportunity for you,
right?
It's an opportunity. Yes, the learning. It's an opportunity for you to also learn about the business. You know, if on my own, not to discard that there are people who have made it, you know, without going the corporate route, you know, but I think it would have been much more difficult, and I wouldn't have been exposed to as much as I've been exposed to. You know, it was almost like learning the whole industry at someone else's expense, you know, because they pay for your travel, obviously, because you're doing a job while you're there. Then you get to see all parts of the world.
I think the reason why I ask that question is, as people sometimes we seem to think that when I finally get my own business, then I'll be brilliant. I'll give my all. But actually, before you can be, I say, qualified to get your own business, you have to be able to run other people's businesses
100%.
Successfully and faithfully and do it well.
It's your training ground.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's it.
So how did that inspire you to all those years? I mean, you've been working for nearly 20 years for other people, knowing you have this vision, but yet you still had to pitch up every day and give your best at work.
I think being able to see the results of your hard work within a corporate environment where, you know, even word starts to get out that this is the guy who's behind 1, 2, 3, and 4. This is why we're doing so well, you know, and then eventually you get to a point where you realize, I mean, even not for selfish reasons per se, but corporate, it's convenient for them to keep you where you are because you're serving a specific purpose.
Yeah.
And then on your own, we all have aspirations to grow beyond where we are and, you know, continuously challenge ourselves. Unfortunately, corporate doesn't, not that they don't want to, but doesn't always have the capacity to offer that to all of us because, you know, there's only so many positions in a company.
Yeah.
So nothing personal. But then when you start to get to a point where you're feeling like your career is getting stagnant, I think then you need to start looking at those avenues of saying, through what I've learned, what can I take out of it, and then go and establish something that could hopefully tomorrow create an avenue for someone to also learn about the industry.
Now take us through the step by step. You leave your job, you decide you're going to start this new retail company, this juggernaut that's about to hit South Africa. What are the step by steps? What do you do first? Because there's someone listening out there who's like, I've always wanted to do that, but I don't know how to go around.
Where do I even begin?
Where do I even begin?
Well, you spend the first 3 years saying, should I go, should I stay?
and when they make you upset, you're like,
I'm going. You know, and then your last 6 months, everyone has been saying, this guy has been saying he's going for the longest time, but he's still hanging around here. You know what I mean?
Because you got car payments and you're like, I'm staying. It's a bond, I'm saying.
And sometimes, you know, when as the universe aligns, someone in there just does something to piss you off so badly that you're like, you know what, I've had enough. This is it. I'm out. You know, there's always that push, that nudge that someone just gives it to you, and you're like, you know what, this is where I draw the line. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I've got my limits. I'm exactly. cut for.
Yeah. I think you must be I'm thankful for your haters. Your haters get you to the next level.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. We need them to get the better out of us. Yeah.
To push us. Yeah.
So then after those 3 years of I'm staying. I'm back. I'm leaving. It's me again.
Yeah. Then what happened?
You leave.
Yeah.
Then and you now leave. You're sitting there at home.
Yeah. And the worst part is your first week after you've served your notice, you're at home. You know, it's a Monday morning. Everyone is getting up and going to work. You're like, what have I done? You know, and then maybe you feel like, okay, let me just go do a little bit of shopping. And then you go around the malls.
And it's empty. It's empty. You're like, wow.
All you're seeing is housewives.
Yeah, housewives with prams.
Exactly.
And gym clothes.
You know, then reality starts to sink in. You know, it's
I'm unemployed.
Yeah, I'm unemployed. You know, that's exactly what it is. You know, damn. You know, but then it's like, okay, it can only go upwards from there.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, and there's always that temptation to say, maybe I should go back. You know,
or look for another
swallow
job.
My pride.
Swallow your pride. But I think the longer you stay out of it, the more you start to accept it as a new normality. Yeah. And then you need to keep busy. You need to, I mean, even I was gymming for the first 3 months of being unemployed. I spent a lot of time at the gym. You know, I was working on the business plan. And then also sit with people. As whenever you can, just go sit with people who can also inspire you. Some people, it could even be people that are in business or people that share the same passion as you or friends that have done the same thing that you've done who say, you know what, I've been at this for the last 3 years.
So that's like soul affirmation.
Yes, exactly. You know?
Okay. Yeah. Are you talking about a business plan though? And a lot of people don't, I've been doing business for a while, but I still sometimes think, what is this business plan?
What's the use of this document?
And what is it at the end of the, what do I put in, what do I not put in?
Look, it sounds quite formal, but I think, I mean, you can break it down, you can simplify it to a business concept. I think it's just putting your idea on paper and then putting some numbers around it to make it a feasible idea. That's what it is. Nowadays you don't even need an expert to help you with it. You can download a template on the internet as a start, and then you just maybe need the help of an accountant who can just make sure that your numbers, you know, do make sense at some point, because ultimately with any business you're going to need to put some money down, and if money is going in, you need to make sure that there's guarantee that there's going to be, or some kind of a, you know, an assessment that can, you know, qualify that we likely to get money out of it on the other end as well.
How did you make sure that you can you had those financial resources to put money down?
Well, I used some of my own money in the beginning, and it ran out very quickly as a result of it. I mean, after 15 years of working, you know, you've got your provident funds, you know. And then, like I said, through contacts...
You saved a lot as well, didn't you?
I saved a lot as well, yeah. Mm. So there's a lot of my own money that went into the business. And then that was the crucial investment into the initial part of the business where you're putting down the foundation, like I said, where you have to get trademarks done, even getting the store ready, you know, because we had to do the renderings of what the shop is going to look like to get approvals from the landlords.
And that's based on, you have to have designs, something that you've put down yourself on paper. Because when you go to the people who are going to do renderings and that sort of thing, you want them to see that you've done something.
Your vision of
your vision.
Yeah,
and it must be clear. Otherwise,
then
it takes,
they'll do their own thing and you might not be happy with it.
And that costs money.
It costs money, yeah. I mean, just to put it into perspective, you're looking at roughly about 20 to 30K, you know, for maybe 3 or 4 renderings of what a shop could look like. You know, if you 3D renderings, if you're doing it through a professional.
Sure.
I'm sure the guys who can do it cheaper, as the guys who will charge.
And that doesn't mean that just because you got great renderings, that now everyone's going to be opening doors for you and saying, come in.
Oh, wow, how pretty.
This money.
And remember, at that point in time, you don't even have a store. You still have to apply. You don't even know what kind of a site they're going to give you, the specifications about all of that stuff.
Now the specifics of getting that store, a lot of people who think about going to retail don't understand that when you get that store, part of the contract is also paying a lot of the money up front, like for a certain amount of months. Am I correct?
Yes, you have to pay.
That's for rent.
It's a deposit. You can do it in bank guarantees, or you can put money down up front. It can work out to even up to 6 months, depending on. And you also have to put surety down, because, you know, just to make sure that the retailer also protects themselves, and that could be in the form of your house as well, to say if you default, you know,
it's investment.
Black child, you got a long way to go. You know, if you don't have a house in a nice suburb, you're still living with your mom and dad. Do you think you could have been able to do this?
No, it's not easy, especially as a new business, because you don't even have it. It's like it's being someone who wants to buy a car with no credit record type of thing, you know. Yeah. So you gotta prove yourself first. So that's why it's always advisable to rather start small. Yeah. In our case, I mean, my vision was quite ambitious. We were looking at opening up 5 stores, and thank God we didn't, because it would have been, you know,
overwhelming.
Five times the risk, which means if it doesn't work, you know, you lose 5 times, you know. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, like I said, I mean, if you're getting investment or a loan agreement from someone else, it's not your money; it's someone else's money. Mm. So you have a responsibility to spend it responsibly as well. Yeah. So it's always better to start small and then, you know, just grow from that.
We're definitely not going to Taboo this Friday on the business credit card.
I don't even know where that is. I've never heard of it.
No. Taboo or the business credit card?
Actually, both.
This is a problem. What's the point of knowing a black guy with a retail store and he can't even take you to Taboo?
Yeah, we'll get there. No. We'll get there.
Oh, no. Remember, priorities, man.
Yeah, you know.
These guys.
Unfortunately, yes, you have to pay your school fees first. Yeah. We'll get there.
You'll be Mr. Pop Bottles eventually. Yeah.
Well, not hopefully. That I want to be Mr. Pop Bottles, but I know what you mean.
Ladies, he's not saying that when in good times, give him. No, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So, okay.
He's not saying, give me some time to work this thing out.
No. Go to church and pray about your vision. I think that's the best thing you can do.
Go look for Jesus.
Jesus should be your only.
The only bottles we'll be popping is the holy water.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll be fine.
So where to from here, though? You know, you spoke about 5 stores. Where do you want to go?
Yeah, the plan is still to open 5 stores. And look, it's early days to celebrate. We've only been open for, 5 days now?
Mm-hmm.
So let's give it some time, maybe 3 or 4 months into it. Yeah, we have already put our name down for Sandton as our second store, our second to the mainland one that we opened.
Yeah, baby, go big or go home.
Yeah, if that happens, we'll most probably venture into that area as well. We're also looking at wholesale business where you're bringing brands into South Africa. And like I said, mid to long term, we're also looking at manufacturing. I've got factories in Italy that have got artisans that are willing to come and spend 6 months here at their own expenses, training youngsters on how the art of making shoes.
I think that's something that needs to come back. At the moment, we're not really making shoes like we used to. There was a time when we could make shoes.
Yeah, we had it. Yeah, we had.
What's the deal industry with that? Is the cost of production, are they that high? Is it the labor cost? Which part of the cost?
It's not so much
high?
That. See, the thing is, if you are in the business of manufacturing, there needs to be a buyer for what you're making. So unfortunately, because of margins and everything, our own South African retailers, you know, not to speak ill of them per se, chose to protect the margin by going
China.
To the East.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then in the process, I mean, I remember when I started in 2001 working for Truworths. 80% of the production was locally done. There were lots of factories in Italy, in Cape Town, that were employing people as seamstresses and all of that.
Yeah.
Most of them have closed down today because they can't compete with China.
With the cheap
produce. Yeah, exactly.
But here's the thing. Like, when you say that we can't compete, what is it that we can't compete with?
No, look, we've got standards. We've got minimum wages. And I think for the right reasons. Because, you know, you don't want to exploit your labor just because
you don't
want
your labor force living in
it.
The factory.
Exactly,
Under the machine when they're not working with their 5 children.
Yes, yeah.
So that's it? Is that it or is there something else?
But the also, quality? Isn't quality, material cost, they're skimping on
look,
a lot
it
of things.
It takes time. I think the thing is, you know, if something was operational and you halt it or you put a halt to it, to pick it up again will take a lot of time and investment. So that's what has happened. I think we've got a lot of artisans. There's a lot of people that are very good with their hands in South Africa as a whole, you know, not necessarily in the footwear. It could be in any industry.
Mm. And I think guys with make amazing shoes with their hands.
Even with shoes, I mean, it's not a trade that is completely dead. I know a lot of other people, you know, a few people in Durban and even here in Johannesburg. I heard of a guy the other day who's making beautiful shoes, you know, by hand as well. So it's there because I think we have a passion for it, and then we have a passion to do things with our hands as well.
Mm.
But that skill, again, needs to be harnessed. It's taking that and making a business out of it, sort of like thing. Yeah. And unfortunately, there's limitations when there are no financial resources available.
You know?
Mm. What do you think we can do as South Africans to make that better? Because I'm not going to say we must go to the government and what must the government, but what can we do?
Yeah.
How can we
support? As consumers
as consumers.
I think for me, outside of government, because government is really trying their utmost. I mean, there's funding available for anyone wanting to go into manufacturing. Corporates have a huge responsibility, especially more so now that, you know, they no longer have the luxury of saying we are the only ones trading in South Africa. Now the very people they were aspiring to, like your Zara's, your H&M's, because, I mean, in buying, that's how what we used to do. We used to get on a plane, go to London, buy some samples from Zara, come back, meet up with an agent in Cape Town, give this stuff to this guy who then goes to China and get them to knock it off for you and then put your label in there, you know, on the collar. That's how it was operating. Now Zara is right next door to you.
Now
you
know? We know the inside tricks, guys.
I know. I'm like, to work, right? Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So that's the problem right there. So I think if they had a long-term vision of saying, we're not in this just to make a profit for ourselves as a corporate, you know, they should have...
In this for development as well.
Yeah, they should have invested. Not that they haven't been, because they ask, you know, activities like your corporate social responsibility thing.
That's not enough. Like it's not enough. Yes, giving money to children to go to school for a year is not enough. Yeah. Like, keep the parents employed.
Yes, that's exactly that.
You don't have to spend money on orphans.
Yeah, and remember, these are the very people that you need to come back to you as your customers as well. Mm. So if they're not employed, then the business right now, that's why trade is, you know, I mean, we're coming into the market when everyone is complaining, saying, you know what, business is difficult, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sure. Woo.
Yeah, that's...
So we need like some final
we need
points.
Happy.
So
we
like
need
happy, because I'm like...
Yeah, this is quite depressing.
Right?
And right there, the music just stopped. Yeah, and I'm like, I know. I'm not gonna play another song. We need to think about this. We need to think about our ways.
Yeah, no, sure, but something inspiring. So what is one motto you live by? Like, now that you are doing this, you are doing great things, what is one thing that when you wake up still keeps you... like your fire? Like, what reignites your fire?
I think just stay true to who you are and your passion. Never compromise it. In fact, the most recent saying that I had someone say was, you know what, do what you do and the rest of the world will follow afterwards.
Do what you do and the rest of the world will follow after.
That's it, man.
Yes,
well,
I
wish
love
you all
that.
The best, man.
Thank you.
I think
you.
You're doing an amazing thing, and I can't wait for you to start manufacturing in South Africa. But apart from that, I mean, it's huge. We've got South African design shoes that are made
in
Italy.
Dude. Yeah.
This
how
is
cool.
The guy who makes them.
You know,
this
can I tell you, this can guy. I tell you something?
He,
have major FOMO that you don't have women's shoes. Yeah. Like,
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm
you know,
so major FOMO.
That's most probably the most exciting thing to close off on. It is coming. Give us a few months, you're going to have it coming in.
I want to be on that email list. Yeah. Not saying I can afford 6 grand shoes, guys, but
wait,
there's a world, there's a way.
You've chosen your career over a blesser, so your career will have to buy those shoes. And on that note, we're out of here. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you for joining us. Here's AKA
Peace,
saying,
guys.
Don't forget to pray.
Don't forget to pray.
This is CliffCentral.com.